Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 2. The book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 2. We're in a series right now of issues of life answered from the Word of God. And as we go through, we know that sometimes these issues become harder and harder to be able to answer. And we want to be able to answer these things in a biblically defensible way. One of the traps that we could get into is trying to answer things based off our feelings, based off our perspective, based off of our opinions. And then sometimes we need to also understand, where does a doctrine take us? Why does something that may seem so insignificant to someone, why is it that it is so important biblically? We want to come to a very important subject and see what it says in the Bible and the consequences of it in the book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 2. The book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 2. And notice with me, if you don't mind, 1 Timothy and chapter number 2. Notice with me in verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broiled hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Notice the phrase here, modest apparel. And with this, we're going to hit a subject. What is the importance of modesty and identity? The idea of modesty and identity. And without a doubt, this is one of the subjects that normally will come up and is normally one that is mistreated. Remember that when we talk about having a biblically defensible position, we're meaning that we need to have a position that is defended clearly from the Word of God. And that we know that oftentimes that people can swing on a pendulum, that they could swing too far in one direction, or they could be defensive and swing too far in another direction. And that either direction makes it where they cannot defend their positions from the Bible. And when you do that, you make yourself very vulnerable. People can attack their positions. It can make it where you can end up doubting. And if you doubt that position, then you could start doubting some other things. It begins to become a very important subject. And this is one that becomes very personal because it's what we dress. It's how we act. It's sometimes even how we identify ourselves. So what is the importance of modesty and identity? Well, the Bible has quite a bit to say, and we're just going to do a cursory view, but we need to first of all define our terms. What is the idea of modesty? The idea of modesty in a simple form carries the idea of not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. We can understand that. Modesty is the idea of not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. We know, without a doubt, there are sexual zones of the body. Both male and female have sexual zones of the body. And that the idea of dressing modestly carries the idea of not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. In addition, the Bible further defines itself in other ways. For example, the word naked is found throughout the Bible, but the Bible three different times defines what it means by naked. Now, of course, our culture has its definition, but we want to use a Bible definition. What is the Bible definition of naked? The idea of a Bible definition of naked carries the idea of the exposing of the thigh. The exposing of the thigh. So if anyone who's wearing shorts or wearing a skirt or wearing something that has it where it rises up and exposes a bit of the thigh, according to a Bible definition, that is considered naked. Now, again, I'm just giving Bible definitions. People may have a different definition. We're just saying, what does the Bible have to say? We're trying to have a biblical definition. Now, of course, already you can imagine with the world's definition, with people raised, with maybe even how you're raised, we're already starting to have a hot potato. We're already starting to have a thing where people, you could already imagine, people are starting to have a little bit of heat, maybe a little bit of what's going on here. Maybe it's not how you would have defined it. Maybe it's not how things, maybe it's a little bit against what you would have thought. But again, that's why I said, can't be our opinion, can't be my thoughts. What does the Bible have to say? So the idea of modesty carries the idea of not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. The idea of naked has a simple Bible definition of not exposing the thighs, not bringing attention. Again, it goes along with that idea. Now, we know with it that someone can wear a sweater. A lady can wear a sweater and still not be modest, right? Oh, yeah. So they could still wear a sweater and still bring attention to the sexual zones of the body. So it's not just the idea of how much clothing you are, but what does the clothing do? Does it bring attention to the sexual zones of the body? A man can wear a t-shirt and draw attention to the sexual zones of the body. Men are not exempt from this. Men are supposed to be modest as well. We know that there are some men who, and they just look like they have painted on t-shirt. Man, Hulk. And again, they're immodest. So the idea of modesty is not just a female idea. It's a male and female idea, both of them idea, not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. The idea of nakedness carries the idea of not exposing the thigh, and so we have to be careful with that idea. The Bible goes on a little bit further, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on modesty. I think people here, we've spent enough time on modesty, and honestly, there's a lot of people who do spend a lot of time on modesty. And if you have any questions, if you're a lady, I encourage you to see my wife. If you're a guy, come see me. I'd be glad to help define, help explain, help go through some things, and we want to help. And that's what we want to do. The idea is not to accuse. The idea is to explain from the Bible. But the second part of this, and it goes hand in hand, we want to cover the subject of modesty and identity. And they do go hand in hand. The idea of modesty and identity. What does we mean by identity? Well, if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Genesis in chapter number 1. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, the very beginning, we know that God is creating the world. Praise the Lord. And we're thankful that God is creating the world. In the book of Genesis, in chapter number 1, God is creating the world. He's created in 6 days of creation. He's now on the sixth day of creation. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over the creeping thing and over the thing that creepeth over the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God, in the sixth day of creation, created mankind. And when he created mankind, he created male and female, and he created them distinctly. What does that mean? He created male to be male, female to be female. I understand right now that hot potato that we talked about starting to get hotter. If you can imagine in our political world, there's a lot of people who wouldn't like it. But again, we're not talking about our thoughts. We're not talking about our opinions. We are talking about what does the Bible say, because we want to have a biblically defensible position. I like grammar, and I think grammar becomes a very important thing if we want to understand the Bible. Notice with me verse 27 again. So God created man in his own image. Understand this. God is creating man in his own image. All throughout the Bible, God has made things in his image or made a picture of himself so we can understand more about who God is. And God is very serious about these pictures of himself. Remember, God had told Moses to strike the rock and water would come out. When Moses struck the rock the second time, God did not allow Moses to go into the wilderness. Why? He ruined the picture that God wanted to have, because God wanted a clear picture so people could understand who God was. Does that make sense? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Notice punctuation. It is not a period. That means it is a continuation of thought. God created, or in the image of God created he, him, male and female created he, them. Understand that when God created male and female, both of them were created for the purpose of showing a complete picture of who God is. And if you've been around here for a while, we understand that godly biblical womanhood is just as important as godly biblical manhood.
Yes, sir.
That we do not look down upon godly biblical womanhood. In fact, the Bible always elevates it to a high, lofty position.
Amen.
Always. But the world looks down upon it and pushes it down. But the Bible always elevates it. And God said both of them are distinct, and their distinctiveness are necessary for us to have a good picture of who God is, because God created us in his image. So now we start to understand there is an importance of distinction, that God made man and woman distinctly. He made them differently. He made woman to be women. He made men to be men. And they were to be distinctly different. Everybody understands the word distinctly, right? Not the same. Distinctly, they have characteristics that are purely them, theirs, that are not shared with the other. Now, in the book of Romans, and we're not going to turn there, I encourage you to read that on your own, but in the book of Romans chapter 1, what had happened is that because people had denied God, rejected God, did not want God's authority in their life, one of the results, because they continued to reject God's word, God's authority, God's rules, God's standards, as a result, byproducts of it, it wasn't the goal, but a byproduct of it was, is that there was no distinction between man and woman. There was no difference. Does that make sense? This is where we're at right now, that there's no distinction. So if you don't mind, I'd like to illustrate this just a bit. Good. Miss Samantha, if I could borrow you, and I want you to stand over there, if you don't mind. What's that, ma'am? Just right over there. And I'm going to be over here. So if you can imagine, this is what we're going to call, so go over there. This is what we're going to call Genesis 1:1 spot. So God created woman distinctly, differently, and separate. He created man distinctly, different, and separate. So we're covering the idea of modesty and identity. And the idea with the identity is that God created woman to be woman and man to be man. Now, I want you to come to the middle. This is what we're going to call the Romans, right as close as you can. Okay, that works. This is what we're going to call the Romans 1 position, where there's now no distinction between man and woman, that the distinctions have been erased. Does that make sense? This is what the world has wanted to do. So how did we get from there to here? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Go ahead and go back to your position there. I'm going to stand here, but I'll get back over there. How do you get from there to there? One step at a time. One step at a time. Step by step by step. And that's what the world has been doing bit by bit by bit, is trying to erase the distinction and to bring both of them together. Why? Romans 1 again explains that because of the rebellion of God and the rebellion of God's authority and God's standards and God's desires. Remember, Genesis 1:27, God distinctly made man and woman, and he made them different. He made woman to be woman, man to be man. Because God was rejected and people did not like God's authority, they don't like the way God set things up. So therefore, their plan was to get rid of everything that God set up, including the distinction, because they don't like the way that God set things up. Does that make sense? Yeah. People do this all the time. And the French Revolution, because they did not like the 7 days that God had set up in creation, they tried to go to a 10-day calendar. They found out it didn't work. But people do that all the time. Anything in the Bible or any principle of nature that is set up because God set it up, people rebel against it. And if they can get away with it, they will. So God has set up biblical manhood to be distinct than biblical womanhood. God has set up biblical husbands to be different than biblical wives. We have different roles. Husbands are to love. Husbands are to keep. Wives are to respect and to submit. Different roles. Fathers and mothers have different roles. Fathers are supposed to are to run the house by authority. The problem is that everyone likes authority until they realize they have responsibility. Amen. Until they realize that they have consequences for it. Ladies are not supposed to go, mothers are not supposed to go by authority. They're supposed to go by influence. You may have heard the principle of she that rocks the cradle rocks the world. That is influence. By the way, that's a biblical principle that's found in the Bible. And so ladies are supposed to go by influence. Men are supposed to go by authority. Does that make sense? But when ladies no longer, mothers don't go by influence, they lose that distinction. They want authority. When men no longer have that authority and they try to do influence or whatever else, they lose that distinction. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So let's see how things go. So let's go to our Genesis 1:1 positions. So it starts off with simple things. It may start off with the idea of modesty or identity. So it may say, I could wear whatever I want, no big deal, and change the way I dress. Okay, it may not seem like a big deal, but what happens is you take a step. Change something else, take another step. It doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but what happens is you start marching the other way. And the distinction starts marring bit by bit. Then what happens is that a father says, I don't want to lead my house anymore. I don't want to be in charge. I take a step. Then the wife says, well, then I'm going to be in charge. I'm the boss. She takes a step. Well, I don't want to discipline my kids correctly. Take a step. Well, I want to be in charge and tell the guy what to do more and more. Take a step. Well, what happens is that I just want to be their friend. Take a step. Well, and see what happens is that more and more wants to be distinction. Then it goes, what happens? Well, I just want to be more sensitive. Take a step. Well, I want to be more in charge. I want to get rid of my emotions. I don't want to cry anymore. I want to be cold. I want to be in charge. I don't want anything to hurt me anymore. Step by step by step until we get to the Romans 1:1 position where there's no distinction. Does it make sense? And it all because each of those things is rejecting God's principle and rejecting God's authority, the way that God had set it up. Thank you. Sit down. So we know that our world has crash course to Romans 1:1. We are at Romans 1:1, or Romans chapter 1 right now, where there is no distinction. Very much so. We're at the place where judges cannot define what a woman is anymore. That's not even a joke anymore, and we all know that where they're asked under oath, what is a woman? All right? We are clearly at Romans 1. When this book was written, that wasn't even there yet. Romans 1 is here. There is no distinction. You go ask anyone right now who is on those fringes, what is a woman? What is a man? How do you define that? They can't do it. Does it make sense? We understand we're there. No distinction. You're like, why is this so important? Why are we talking about modesty and identity then? Because the only place now to find true biblical manhood, the only place now to find true biblical womanhood is going to be found in the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the local church. God has created the local church to be the place where people can find the truth. Now, people come to church because they're looking for answers. Something has gone wrong. People do not come to church for the first time because things are going right in their life. They're coming to church for the first time because something has gone wrong, something is missing, something's empty, something's searching, something's going on. If everything's going right, they're sleeping well at night, they're hunky-dory, they don't come to church. They come to church because something's missing. Then they come to church, they're looking for answers. They may not know what they're looking for, but they come to church because this is the place where they should find truth. They may not like the truth, but this should be the place where they should find the truth. Therefore, we have a big responsibility as the church. Now, understand, the church is not the four walls. It is us people who have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to be the pillar and ground of truth. Which brings us back, what is the importance of modesty and identity? How is the world going to learn what true biblical womanhood is supposed to look like? The local church. And if the local church no longer has true biblical womanhood, there is no other place for them to look for, and they're just going to slip more and more to Romans 1. If the local church does not have true biblical masculinity, then where else can they look at? There is nowhere else to go, and they're going to slip further into Romans chapter 1. Does that make sense? This is the only place for them to find what true biblical masculinity is, true biblical femininity. Not toxic masculinity, not toxic femininity. We know that there's such thing as out there, and that's not biblical at all. We need to know what the Bible has to say about these things. But we know that when we talk about these things, there's modesty and identity. Now, we know that with the idea that there's a principle and a command of modesty and identity, we know that there is an application. Applications change based off of culture. That we based off of our culture, we apply it to our culture. This is what women should look like. This is what men should look like. So we understand that different cultures have different things. We live in a Western culture, and there's an expectation of Western culture of what women look like and what men look like. By the way, the more that the world moves away from biblical things, the more that biblical Christianity is going to look different.
Yes.
But by the way, the biggest evidence that the Bible is true is different. We are not better than the world. We are different than the world. And when someone comes in, they're looking for truth, and they see that there's something different here. Not just in apparel. Remember, our apparel is not a mark of spirituality. I despise someone who thinks they're spiritual because of the way they dress, but they don't read their Bible, and they don't pray, and they don't do all of this stuff. I despise that. But the idea is that when they come in and they see people who genuinely love the Lord, who want to get close to the Lord, who, when they go through hard times, can say, God's still good and God's still right, who have followed what the Bible says and they have their house in order. Most people don't have their house in order. They're looking for answers. So if they could come to a church and say, they've got their house in order, how do I do that? Well, I want that. Husband and wives who are said, I don't even know how to be a husband and wife. They need to know, where do I find how to do that? They should be able to come to the pillar and ground of the truth. So understand that whatever we believe, we have to be able to follow the doctrine. Where does it lead? So modesty and identity is more than just what we wear. But it carries a lot further. That we have the Genesis 1:1 position. That what God intended women to look like women and act like women and behave like women and have their influence like women, and men to look like men, to act like men, to behave like men and have authority like men. But over time, because they gave up those things and took step by step by step, rejected God's authority, rejected God's principles, rejected God's things, they came to a Romans chapter 1 position where there was no distinction. And now there's chaos. That's where our world is. The only place for people to find true biblical Christianity, biblical masculinity, biblical femininity, is now the local church, which means we have a responsibility to portray biblical Christianity, biblical femininity, biblical masculinity. Now, for us in our local church, different churches do different things and different homes do different things. For us, we ask leadership to be the example and to have influence over everyone else. We don't ask people who just come in the door or even just people who are members to do certain things. We do ask people to dress modestly. If they come in with a tight red dress week after week, we probably will address that. But if for the idea of leadership, we do have an expectation. And we do that for the purpose of influence, even if people don't recognize it, because we want to try to portray biblical masculinity and biblical femininity. We want to try to, whether they realize it or not, there's an unconsciousness that we're trying to portray and point to the Lord, understanding that what we believe, even small things like this, have far-reaching consequences. What we believe matters. In regards to this, when people do ask our ladies, why do you dress such a thing? When people ask our men, why do you dress such a way? Why do you carry such a way? We need to have a biblically defensible answer. I know that I could default to an answer that the rest of you could not probably answer. I like suits. The rest of you are like, you guys are crazy. I would never answer that. So that answer doesn't work for you. I need to be able to have a biblically defensible answer. Why do I wear this? It's not because of a preference. It's a biblical principle. If you don't mind, let's pray, and then we'll open up for questions. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And again, thank you again for you being clear, and I know we just kind of touched upon this, and your Bible has a lot more. I'm asking that this was a help, at least just trying to explain the principles of it, and that you again will help guide us and direct us and help us to have the proper influence with others to be able to point towards you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.